whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Before we get into some of this Jerry Jones stuff, though, Antonio Brown, this is according to Josina Anderson, was issued an apology, and he had the team captains standing with him. And he basically went in there and issued an emotional apology at a team meeting on Friday morning. So we'll see where that goes from here.
Because what could happen? Could the team captains go to management and say, hey, we've all bonded together and we need him and we're on board. We don't want him to miss. Because I think after hearing that they can get out of his guaranteed money next year, I don't think it was any accident that they went ahead and fined him and led to the combustible situation and the suspension, because basically they're like, we're sick of this headache. We want out of this thing. We don't want another year of it.
Right. And if he's not on the active roster on Sunday, Ben, then they can void this year and all the guarantees.
Right. So this is a manipulation to try to get back on that active roster to get that guaranteed money for the next season.
Absolutely. And I think your point about the team captain standing with him is pertinent there, because if it'd be real easy for them to go ahead and go, yeah, go, you're on your own there, AB. We're tired of you already. But the team captain standing with him, because if most of the players get AB's back, well, then it's the general manager versus his team.
Yeah. It's a pretty interesting chess move by him to do that.
Right. And then in the middle of all this is Gruden saying, he's got a good heart somewhere in there. And God, I love the football player. I do. I watch him play.
He bleached his heart blonde.
So anyways, we'll see where that all ends up. But if he stays suspended heading into Sunday, then that's certainly a mess. And you know, for these kinds of things, if Mayock says no, he's suspended, and we don't owe him this stuff anymore, then an arbitrator gets involved, the Players Association gets involved, all those kinds of things, to figure out who's right and who's wrong, and that just becomes even uglier. All right, Jerry Jones was on the show earlier today, right out the gate at 10 o'clock. He's normally 10:30 on Fridays with us, but he had some things that he had to attend to, so we certainly accommodated Jerry. But when he was on the show earlier today, right out the gate, we asked him if it was safe to say that the Zeke negotiations, had they become a little bit personal. It's clip number 61, Shippy.
Well, when you say a little more personal, I don't know that it's any more personal with Zeke than it was for Lawrence, or it is for any player. This is life-changing. And really can be if everybody would be prudent with how we and they do their financing. But that's another story. But it is life-changing. And it is sensitive. We all are sensitive about money matters. It gets sensitive between family members, between friends. It's the nature of that. And the challenge is to make this thing work out. You know you're not saying something to somebody you think a lot of, or you wouldn't be sitting there usually negotiating with them to begin with. You know you're not saying things that are music to their ears. And so how you do that, how you handle that, some of my greatest moments were in these negotiations. Michael Irvin, it just was so special to be around Michael. I don't have but 1,000 stories about him, but we were there. He was doing his own deal. His agent just was not a factor, and we were sitting there side by side with each other, and he put a number there, and of course we had our number, I had my number, and I said, Michael, when he put his out there, I said, Michael, there's an old West Texas town, it's called El Paso. So on that number, El Paso. He broke out laughing. I broke out laughing. He said, give me the damn contract, and just signed it right there and said, let's get going and play some football. I can't handle you.
I think we're talking to Jerry Jones.
A lot of sensitive things in a highly, understandably so, sensitive time.
There's so much good all stuff right there. I love all those old stories. I never get tired of them, no matter how many times I've heard them.
I've heard that one quite a few times. That one's awesome. And I'm stunned by a guy who's on the radio so much, you know, twice a week. It's not like it's a ton. It's great every time.
Yeah.
Like every time. And you typically hear a lot of new stories. And how is that possible? Like my sweet dad, you know, I knew all his stories pretty quick because I heard him all the time. He's always telling that story again. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Jerry tells new ones all the time. That is one I had heard before. But what stood out to me is he said some of my greatest moments. I think I meant to say some of my greatest memories, but I bet they were some of his greatest moments also.
Right.
I don't think that's what he was trying to say. I think he was trying to say some of my greatest memories. And I loved how he said, Michael's agent was just not a factor.
That's pretty great, too. We're over here getting a deal done. You stay out of it. there's a lot of good stuff to get into. We can get into the gambling stuff. Do you guys want to go down the pie wormhole here?
Oh, that was the best.
Okay, let's set this up with, you know, we were talking about the Zeke back and forth, and then he gets into the idea of the pie. And, Ben, I think you asked him the question, when with only so much pie to go around, do you want Dak to play out on his rookie deal? That's clip number 64, Shippy.
Well, again, we're not going to talk about the details of anybody's contract here, and we don't do that, so I'm not trying to just give a stiff service to Dak. But the facts are that there is a pie. And there is a limit in any institution or any individual. There is just a limit. And I can give you examples of when we got the limit. We've had two seasons where we had to cut our practice squad in half. That's your guys that make a minimum salary to be a part of the team. They practice. We've had to cut that in half because we didn't have enough room under the cap. It goes under the cap. We had to let DeMarcus Ware out of here because we couldn't pay him. We were out of cap room. He went over to Denver and with Wade won a Super Bowl. So it's real. There's a real pie here, and as the pieces go out. Now, do you plan on that happening with what you've got out in front of you and with what your expectations are that you'll be paying? No, you manage that. You plan on it. But if anyone gets out of kilter to a significant degree, it disrupts the plan. And then you've gotten too much pie out of the pan to get the rest of the job done.
I never heard that. You get too much pie out of the pan to get the job done. Also, I've never heard him at the beginning. I've never heard this. He said, I'm not trying to give a stiff service to Dak.
Yeah, that was pretty shocking.
A stiff service?
That's pretty shocking.
I guess he's trying to say, what is he trying to say there?
Phrasing?
I was blown away by what he said there. I thought it was very inappropriate.
Very inappropriate.
I've never heard it called a stiff service.
Not trying to give a stiff service. What was he trying to say? Is he trying to say,
give a stiff service?
Maybe he's trying to say he didn't want to do Dak a disservice.
Yeah, that's probably what he meant. I don't.
I like a stiff service.
I know. That's why I go to the low T center.
Yeah, I mean, Rod's ready for you. You know, he's on the other side of the ball.
Who's Rod?
Marinelli, the defensive coordinator there,
Kevin.
But then we started talking about, did Zeke take up too much of the pie? And by the way, I was also sitting there thinking about Byron Jones and him probably getting a stiff service out of all this. But we actually asked him with regards to so much pie going around, what is, it's clip number 66, Shippy, what is your favorite kind of pie?
I don't know. Are you really serious talking about pie?
Absolutely. Yeah. I want to hear what you like.
Well, unfortunately, I like too much of several of them. But I'd quickly here this morning say coconut. And when it's done the way that a lot of people around me do, I have a wonderful friend that she sends over a couple of pies about every quarter.
Whoa.
And it's usually a chocolate pie and it's coconut pie. And I have to absolutely tie myself in at night to keep them going down the middle of the night and getting in that.
It is just hypnotic.
He didn't say.
It is hypnotic. Right.
He said he's got to be tied down at night from not going and getting a piece of pie
from going and getting in that. That's so awesome.
Maybe I'm implying my own stuff there, but did he say go down the hall to get in that? Can you play that again, Jimmy?
I'm sure to hear the whole thing again. That's
so great.
Amazing.
So great.
I don't know. Are you really serious talking about
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I want to hear what you like.
Well, unfortunately, I like too much of several of them, but I'd quickly here this morning say coconut, and when it's done the way that a lot of people around me do, I have a wonderful friend that she sends over a couple of pies about every quarter, and it's usually a chocolate pie and it's coconut pie. And I have to absolutely tie myself in at night to keep them going down the middle of the night and getting in that.
Who's in the BDSM?
God, that is so awesome. I love it when Jerry stops talking about sports or business. I love it all.
Yeah.
But, we've heard the Joneses from the All or Nothing docuseries talk about hot dogs.
Yep.
I could listen to that all day. Like, we don't have a lot of time with him. We could talk to him for hours.
Right.
I mean, I wanted to ask him this. We just didn't have time because we had serious stuff we had to ask him. But I wanted to ask him, what do you do when you're not making giant deals or working? Like, do you think he sits down and watches Yellowstone on TV? Did he watch Breaking Bad back in the day? What pop culture is he into? What does he do in his spare time, or does he read?
I bet it's just nonstop action. Like, I bet there's just so many different things, so many different irons in the fire that when he's not doing those things, I bet he's sleeping, because I think that stuff is constant, and he's got so many different things going on. And we've talked about this before. I was so amazed that, and I realized the people over at whatever it is, Austin Construction or whoever built that stadium out there, get mad when I say Jerry was the general contractor, but he was. He was the one calling the shots. I'm not saying he was out there organizing engineering plans and stuff, but he was overseeing all of that. And that's a full-time job unto itself. And so one of the things that is just so interesting to me about Jerry and him, and he talked about this, we don't have time to get into it here, but talking about how he's more involved than ever before, and he's taken more meetings than ever before. And as we sit here, we're mesmerized by his words, and they got that. You saw that they had the Zeke shirt made up, and they've already sold 200 of them in one day. Did you see that?
Yeah, and proceeds going to the Salvation Army. And Zeke didn't know. But, and we will get into that.
But I want to say this. You can't tell me the Cowboys wouldn't have this product. Do you guys have trouble sleeping at night?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, you know how they'll sell those sound effect things? Will be the sound of the ocean or the calm. What if it was just all of Jerry's stories on a loop?
Oh, my God, reading you bedtime stories?
You would fall asleep in 30 seconds. Ben, it'd be so soothing to your soul to hear Jerry deliver those goods.
That's a great story.
I would love that.
I would buy it.
I would buy it for sure. And let's do this. Let's get the latest on the Cowboys from Mickey, and then let's get back into the Jerry audio.
I'm cool with it.
All right, we'll do that next as we continue to broadcast from Fort Worth at the Eagle's Nest, 8455 Boat Club Road. The latest with regard to Zach Martin's back, all the things that you need to know about next from Mickey Spagnola right here on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan.
Let's get into some of these Jerry cuts, back into them until we do hear from Mickey.
Can we hit the quick Antonio Brown thing real quick?
Absolutely.
Ian Rappaport saying that there's a chance he now plays on Monday night, that things have changed so quickly after his apology today with the captains by his side. Ian Rappaport saying there's a chance that he plays Monday night.
That's what
you
that was.
You get stuff wrong all the time.
That's what that is. That is a manipulation with the captains to try to get back in that game and to try to get that money guaranteed for next year.
The report that I saw yesterday was that if he is on the roster and active as veteran status, his $14 million this year is guaranteed. If he is on the roster on Monday.
Yeah.
I said Sunday earlier, they're playing a Monday night
game. Oh, is it this year's money, not next year's money?
Yeah, the base salary for this year is guaranteed.
Oh, okay, it's this year, so it has nothing to do with next year.
No, but he had some guaranteed money for next year, too. He'd basically void out $30 million of guaranteed money.
Oh, okay, that's what I thought. So it is both years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if he's on this year, then boom, they got to pay him the whole year.
That's what I thought.
Unless, there's some drug suspension or PEDs or whatever. All right, so let's get into back into some of this Jerry stuff. And I think this is a good place to get. If there's a specific place you want to go, Ben, I'm up for it. But the gambling stuff is pretty damn good, too, if y'all want to hit that up. We've been talking a lot about the sports betting and the gaming and the effects it's going to have on the NFL. And here's Jerry's comment on that. It's clip number 67, Shippy.
We're talking about value as it relates to television. speaks to the numbers of people that are watching and then how long they're watching. To some degree, how intent they are to not leave the screen. The NFL is so fortunate. We culminate, our interest in football culminates in the fourth quarter of the year. That's when the majority of the interest is to get the buyer in front of the TV set. That's Thanksgiving. That's Christmas. So our sport is so fortunate. When I first bought the Cowboys, I had the head of ABC and ESPN, Dan Burke, tell me, I don't believe you guys can screw this up, owners. And I hadn't become an owner yet. But he said, you're right where the money is, serious money is, in television, the NFL football. Secondly, your game was built with no intrusive stops, but it stops a lot. We can shoot messages at that time, so we can do so much more communicating than any other sport. But listen to this one. Now, this is almost 30 years ago. He said, the biggest thing you got is, I don't care if it's in season, out. I don't care if it's in the game or out of the game. It is a soap opera 100% of the time, year-round. We can't do without it on television. It just stays out there, and you're continually promoting it with all of the antics of everybody involved. It's television goldmine. So that when you add gaming, and gaming increases the intensity, increases the interest. Boy, they're hanging on every word that Romo's out there saying, talking about how the safety's lined up too far past the hash mark. He can't get over and cover the corner. Those nuances. Romo would be a card counter. They wouldn't allow him to get in a vision as I see gaming in football, and I'm teasing, just like they don't allow card counters in Las Vegas. But the bottom line is our game with gaming already has. We have tremendous interest in NFL because of gaming, fantasy football, those areas. So it will enhance dramatically and grow enhancing, probably more dramatic than from the time I've been in NFL football, just because it's going to increase the interest, intensity, numbers of eyeballs on the TV set.
God, man, it is. He makes a very compelling point. I don't think he's wrong at all. It's going to take the interest to a whole other level. And it's already the thing that is dominating television the most. And, man, it is. Do you have a good feel for when we're talking about?
I mean, so much of it is regional and, you know, state legislated and stuff. And so to the point where it's just free and easy everywhere, I'd bet we're still another 3 to 4 years. Well, I bet it's on the same course as the weed legalization stuff. Mm-hmm. I bet they're on pretty similar tracks.
God, it's crazy to think of that, man.
And there was news today that the Cowboys, have part of their Dallas Cowboys app is going to be in-game prize money that you can win for doing stuff. So it's all headed that way already.
If you get into a car accident, you go into a coma or something, God forbid, you wake up and you're going to be like on the patio of a restaurant smoking a joint, making a bet, legal bet with the remote control or something.
Going, like, what the hell happened here?
What happened while I was out? Joining us now, a guy who may or may not ever partake in that out on a patio while gambling. It is the great Mickey Spagnola. How you doing, Mick?
I'm doing good. Real good. Sorry, we got so many mics here. I grabbed the wrong one.
Hey, all good. Not a problem at all. Hey, I want to dive in with maybe the biggest stories we need to know about, but with regard to the Cowboys here on a Friday. But I want to know about Zach Martin. Is there any level of concern within the organization, or is Zach Martin's back just kind of a real minor thing?
Well, I don't think it's minor, but I'm not sure it's of great concern going into this game. I think they were being as cautious as they can with him not giving. So when they list him as limited, that means he didn't do every single thing that they did in practice, but he did something. And he was expected, from the looks of things, that he was going to practice fully today. Now, it's a lighter practice today. Obviously, they're not in pads again. But I think he's I had gotten kind of the okay clearance from him that he would be ready to go.
What is your estimation of, like, there's a lot of people that think that this Giants team is one of the three or four worst teams in football. Do you think they're that bad? What is your estimation?
Yeah, I don't buy into that, especially until you see it. I mean, you know, on paper, okay, fine, but you never know when we get going, right? I mean, if you had listened to everybody's you know, kind of predictions for the two teams that played last night. They're going to the playoffs. And after you watch that, you're going, they ain't going anywhere. So first games scare me. And if I was a coach, I don't know that I could handle that, the anxiety going in the first game because there's so much unknown. But, yeah, I think especially those first games, I wouldn't take a darn thing for granted, and I've seen too many of them flip-flop and go against the grain. And you don't want that to happen in the first game, but then you kind of right the ship. And because these teams don't play hardly any of their guys a decent amount of snaps in preseason, you know, this is the first time out, and sometimes things happen. I think we saw it last week in college football. I think we saw it last night. I mean, I don't know who was favored to win that game, but neither team looked like a playoff team. But, again, it's the first time out, and you just don't get guys enough snaps in preseason games to be ready to go for that first one.
So, Mick, are there any other big stories or things you're tracking today on a Friday before the opening weekend?
Well, just trying to, you know, get a feel for, you know, where they're going to go with this, how much they're going to use Zeke. And that looks like to be determined once the game starts, to see how he's handling it, to see if he's in the flow. You know, and it may take him a series or two to get going since he hasn't really done a heck of a lot from a team standpoint. You know, you can do all the conditioning and running and all that stuff you want, but it's not like seeing things and seeing guys in front of you and figuring out where you go and where you need to cut. So I think that, you know, I don't think they want to overload him, but I think if it's going well, then, yeah, ride it. And if it looks like his legs are giving out, then, you know, you got to be careful. And that's the same thing with these other guys coming off of injuries that didn't play in any preseason games. DeMarcus Lawrence, Tyrone Crawford, Byron Jones, they've got to keep Amari Cooper. They got to keep an eye on those guys because the last thing you want to do is, you know, push them further than their physical capability, and then you end up with a soft tissue injury, and they're going to miss two or three games. So I think they can be very careful with those guys. So, you know, there's been all this talk about depth on this team. Well, they're going to need it, I think, for this week and maybe even next week so they don't wear out those guys because they're going to have to rely on the Kerry Hyders, Taco Charltons, the and Dorrance Armstrong, you know, maybe even Devin Smith, Tavon Austin, more than you would in a regular game just because of those guys coming back from injury. And the same thing at cornerback with Anthony Brown, Jordan Lewis. You know, you may see those guys more than normal because, I mean, who knows if those guys are ready. They probably have a feel for it, but we haven't seen it. And until they get in the game, I just really think you don't know. Now, from a Zach Martin standpoint, it's different, right? You don't rotate the offensive guard in there normally. So he's got to be ready to go, and maybe that's why they're being a little more cautious with him this first week. But again, when you're dealing with a bulging disc, those things, you never know when they're going to act up.
Enjoy the game this weekend, Mick. We'll talk to you Monday, dude.
Okay, sounds good. See ya.
There he goes, Mickey Spagnuolo. Before we go to this next segment, guys, I want to play you some audio right quick.
Yeah.
A little mystery audio. I haven't played this for you. I saw this on the tube last night. And we'll just play the audio first, and I'll get your immediate reaction. Shippy?
Okay, so I have been told I've got to find the box. The box doesn't have a name, but if you get the box, I can get everything. Problem is, I got to get somebody with a box, Scott. So what I need is somebody out there. If you've got the box in Shenzhen, China, mm-hmm. and you don't mind having some visitors at 1 a.m., I'll slide you a few won, if you know what I mean.
All right. I'll play it for have Shippy play it for you again. But first okay. of all, do you know who that is talking?
Is that Dean Blandino?
No, but that's not a – that's works in the world of sports.
Luckner.
That's not Luckner.
Oh, sounded like Luckner for sure. Let me hear it again.
Okay, play it again, Shippy.
Okay, so I have been told I've got to find the box. The box doesn't have a name, but if you get the box, I can get everything. Problem is, I got to get somebody with a box, Scott. So what I need is somebody out there. If you've got the box in Shenzhen, China, mm-hmm. and you don't mind having some visitors at 1 a.m., I'll slide you a few won, if you know what I mean.
Wow, I can't tell.
Scott, he said Scott, so Scott Van Pelt?
Yes.
So it's someone on SportsCenter.
Yes, and I'll give you a hint. He's very tied into LeBron.
Oh, that was Winhurst.
That's Brian Winhurst.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And is that was being played. I was like, man, this is really shocking audio.
Yeah, why would he say that?
He's out there trying to get the box, and he's willing to come over late and slide you a few ones for it.
And he'll go all the way to Shenzhen, China for it.
So he is apparently, he's over there covering the World Games in Shenzhen, China, and he can't get the Cleveland Browns game over there, and there's some mysterious thing called the box. It sounds like a fire stick or something.
You know, what's crazy is I've been to Shenzhen, China, and there's like a whole different internet there.
Because
it's
really?
All government regulated. It's not, you don't just get online.
Right.
It doesn't work that way.
Right.
There's like even those apps like WhatsApp and things like that.
Yeah.
You can't, there's no getting or circumventing the way they communicate over there.
Right.
Like they own everything. So it's not like, yeah, go peruse the internet, see what you can find.
I found that to be amazing audio as he was willing to slide someone some money to look at their box.
Yeah, no, that was pretty wild. I don't think it holds a candle to what happened on the fan last night from 10:25 to 10:35.
Really?
I'll just say that. During a segment in which the power ranking of the hottest NFL coaches by division was happening on the air with Jeff and Jared, myself and K&C and Reggie.
Uh-huh. How did you rate Coach Garrett?
Oh, no, yeah. The NFC East is not in great shape, man.
Uh-huh.
It's the NFC
Peterson
West.
Peterson looks good, dog.
Yeah, but then go get you a good look at old Shermer. Get you a good look at Jay Gruden. The NFC East is not doing well.
It's not where it's
now,
at.
The AFC West was voted most sweaty. Andy
like
Reid.
Sweaty try hard or just overweight and sweaty?
Yeah, Vic Fangio is real old.
Yeah.
Gruden, but he sweats a lot.
I feel like our buddy with the Chargers.
Anthony Lynn was, he's super hot.
He's dashing.
We decided that Mike Tomlin was a top five hot coach.
All right.
Salina's own, though. Anthony Lynn, right?
Yeah.
So from Salina, he's solid. I think, if anything, that audio, though, Skin, confirms to me that Winhurst is a guy who has to pay for it.
There was zero doubt about that.
To get games when he's out, to pay for the internet when he's on the road, to expense it.
He was in another country begging Van Pelt to tell him where the action was. He was so willing to pay
and
for
Van
it.
Van Pelt knows.
He knows.
He totally knows.
All right, Sabin and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we'll go through the remainder of the NFL games from the weekend and get your radio a lot of good football action. That's next on The Fan.
It's the Sabin and Skin Show coming to you live from the Eagles Nest in Fort Worth, 8455 Boat Club Road. Stop by and see us if you're in the area. And we love these guys out here, and they're doing a really cool thing. They're sponsoring a very special athlete, Dave Villarreal, a Marine Corps veteran, five-time stroke survivor, part of the 2020 Paralympic team, plays 15 different sports. The Eagles Nest sponsors him. Over 100 medals, all in a wheelchair, 60 gold medals. Salute to you, sir. God bless
you. All right, Dave.
God bless the Eagles Nest.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for your service to our country, and thank you for your courage for what you continue to do. Just so freaking impressive. Super nice guy. If you get a chance, go over there and meet him and say hello. And God bless the Eagles Nest for doing it. And God bless NFL because it's back.
Yeah.
Time for footballing. Let's roll through the rest of the NFL schedule and kick these games around. And let's start with we've already gone through a lot of the schedule. Let's pick up where we left off, and that is Buffalo. At the Jets.
The debut of Cole Beasley in the AFC East, Ben.
So that means one of these teams will definitely get a win.
So yep. I wrote an article on 1053thefan.com. You guys can go check out at some point. You can find it on my Twitter timeline at KTFunTweets. It was kind of a week one preview, and our buddy, Jesse from the Kimmel Show, is a big Buffalo Bills fan.
That's
and
right.
He hit me up with, man, he didn't have much to say about that game. Because I didn't. There's just not the Bills and the Jets are just consistently garbage. So
yeah, and this is why, I mean, dude, all due respect to the Pats. So the sloppy choppy sandwich said this earlier today on the station, and he's right. That's probably the worst Patriots team to win a Super Bowl last year. Don't you guys agree?
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably fair.
Maybe they beat the Chiefs.
No.
You're talking about talent.
I mean, yeah, and keep in mind the way the Chiefs played in the first half of that game.
Yeah, and given the way that the Patriots played to win that game.
Yeah, that Super Bowl last year and that whole run was the brilliance on display of amazing coaching, making adjustments, shifting, doing something different. Of course, guys being able to go out there and execute it. But the whole point being is that the reason the Patriots were in the position to do the things they do
It's because they played the Dolphins and the Jets and the Bills six times, party people.
Every year.
And one of those Dolphins games, they lost on that wild-ass kick at the end of the game. Yeah. So the whole point is that as the Patriots approach their season, it's borderline disaster if they don't go 4-2 or 5-1 in the conference and the division.
I'm interested in Josh Allen. I want to kind of see what he is. He was terrible last year. Completed 53% of his passes. He had two more picks than touchdown passes. But I do want to see Cole Beasley. Cole Beasley's never scored more than five touchdowns in a season. Has just one season of 675 yards. But I think he's going to top both those numbers here. I think they're going to get him involved a hell of a lot.
Can you give those Allen numbers again? What'd you say?
Let's see.
Go back to your draft notes mentally here, KT.
Yeah, he. Let's see. He had completed 53% of his passes.
Isn't that what he did in college?
Yeah, right, and he had two more picks than touchdown passes.
I mean, that's him in college. He completed half his passes.
It's a factor with his feet. It's interesting with Josh Allen and Sam Darnold because they are in that new wave of quarterbacks, and I think we constantly talk about quarterback rankings and tiers and all that stuff. And you got this old guard of Rivers and Breeze and Brady and Eli Manning and all these guys, and Ben Roethlisberger, all these guys who are about to be getting out, and you have this new wave coming up. So it is interesting to watch those guys.
But sure.
Overall, probably the game I'm least excited for over the weekend.
It won't. Yeah. It won't be as good as last night's game.
It's the Interception Bowl. Let's move on to the Redskins at the Eagles. How are you guys feeling about this one?
I think that I am a little more, let's just say, I'm not as sure that the Giants are as horrible as everybody thinks they are. I'm very confident that the Redskins are as horrible as everybody thinks they are. I think after this weekend, the consensus will be that the Eagles are the runaway favorites in the NFC East because they are going to absolutely demolish the Redskins so badly that everyone's going to be talking about. They're going to be in the top three of everyone's power rankings.
I actually think what Mickey was saying about how week one games always scare him, I think that comes into play here. I mean, I think about the Eagles and Redskins about the same way I think of the Cowboys and Giants. A game that could be dangerous. I think the Cowboys and the Eagles are two teams who will win those games, but it's a game that I'm never quite sure of just because the nature of this division the last 15 years.
That's fair. I think Philly hammers them, though.
Carson Wentz in 20 home games has thrown 37 touchdowns and only 11 picks, averaging 254 yards a game. Trent Williams, left tackle Trent Williams, not expected to play, so this is over him being disgruntled with their training staff, right?
Yes.
So he's just going to forfeit the season?
I think he's going to come back and play, just not this week. I think he'll be back next week against the Cowboys.
I want to face Eric Flowers next week. Or is Eric Flowers playing guard now?
I think he's starting either way.
Oh, my God, so great.
All right, next game, Colts at Chargers.
Oh, yes.
Jacoby Brissett, baby.
I think this is a really interesting game. I think the Colts will still be good. I don't know that they're Super Bowl contenders anymore. But, I mean, the Colts are going to be good, and the Chargers were really good.
T.Y. Hilton said this is the best team he's ever been a part of.
Huh.
There was a story about Chris Ballard and the head coach getting together with the owner, with Ursay, and they were looking at their final 53-man roster. And Chris Ballard smiled and said, "Looks good. Let's go." So even with the Andrew Luck stuff, they're at least playing it up as, hey, we're going to be fine.
Uh-huh.
Now, all I can ever think about when it comes to the Chargers is, A, the fact that Melvin Gordon's going to be holding out.
Yeah,
so
what's
he's
his
not
deal?
Playing in that game. And then, you know, tonight or Saturday night, you got Phil Rivers, and he's hanging out in his room, and he's got all these kids, and
one
of the kids storms into the bedroom, and he looks his wife in the eye and says, "Let the boy watch.
Let the boy watch."
Is his wife currently pregnant again? I thought he had another one on the way. I swear to God.
I just always assume he has one on the way.
I think you should just keep that as a drop for the future.
By the way, Keenan Allen, he's got a bad ankle, but he's supposed to play. There's just a little bit of concern there. He's caught 199 balls over the last 2 years.
He good.
Yeah, he's real good, man. And it seems like he's always banged up just a tad. That's got a chance to be a really fun, entertaining game.
I think it is.
There's a lot of question marks going on with both of those teams.
Joey Bosa with a sack in five of the final six games to end the year last season, so we'll see if he can pick up there.
Bosa.
Next game, Bengals at Seahawks.
I'm not sure if there's a less inspiring team to watch than the Bengals, but I thought Pete Carroll at his press conference said some interesting things. He said, "They're new, man. I don't know. This ain't Marvin Lewis anymore."
Uh-huh.
They hired Zach Taylor, who was with another McVay clone, one of those guys.
Yep.
Or a McVay wannabe, I guess, kind of like LaFleur. And Pete was like, They're different. So I got no, like, we don't feel great about knowing what they're going to be about.
Do you know who's not different? Andy Dalton.
Yeah. Yeah, Andy Dalton went 0-6 on the road last season. By the way, their offensive line is a total disaster.
Yep.
And it's going to be a bloodbath for their offense.
All hurt, and that's why I think Joe Mixon is kind of getting, he's kind of getting sacrificed out there because I don't think he's going to have anywhere to run. I mean, I can kind of think of Joe Mixon the same way I think of David Johnson. The offensive line is going to be crushing them all year long. But Seattle, you know, I think, listen, I'm going to view this from a Cowboys standpoint. I'm going, go Bengals, because I want these NFC teams taking losses as much as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. I just don't think it happens here.
By the way, Jadeveon Clowney will get to enjoy that terrible offensive line trying to block for Andy Dalton.
I wonder what kind of shape he's in and ready to rock and roll.
He's probably pretty good, ready. The reports were he was set. Like, he was going to report to Houston camp, but he got butthurt that they were talking about trading him because he wasn't there.
But it's a fair question. I worry about every guy who's not there when they arrive.
Yeah.
I could see him being gassed, not being able to go full power. But that line sucks so bad, it probably won't matter. Let's move on to Lions at Cardinals.
I'm excited to watch it.
Because, and Kyler?
It'll be on at the same time as the Cowboy game, so I won't be locked in. But I'll kind of have red zone happening on another screen, you know. But I'm excited to see it.
I wonder at what point in the season we get burnt out on being excited about the Cardinals because they are so bad.
Yeah.
You know, we're super pumped for Kyler. I mean, not just aside from being the number one pick in the draft. That's a local boy. And he never lost in high school. He went and won the Heisman when he finally got his chance to play. He's just so fast, and he's fun and electric to watch. He's got a great arm. But, my God, that is a bad football team.
Yeah, the Lions are bad, too, though. They're pretty bad. They allowed 29 touchdowns through the air last year, picked off just 7 passes.
I do want to promote, I mean, obviously I want you guys to go to 105.3thefan.com all the time, but The Ringer had a great article on Matthew Stafford and what he's gone through with his wife having a brain tumor. And then just the fact they talked about how last year, how you would never have known he was playing the role of mom and dad and teammate and quarterback and face of the franchise and team leader and doing all those things that you never would have known. He had so much on his plate all year long, but the way he was at the facilities, you never would have known. I think that's really cool. And there's a couple of good things about him getting off social media because he was like, this isn't making me any better.
Right.
But it's just it's a good article on Matt Stafford, who's a local guy. It's okay to pull for guys like that. You know,
I'm sure our listener realizes this by now, but he grew up with Clayton Kershaw. They were buddies growing up. So remind me the details of the beer chugging. Did his wife chug that beer too? Or did she just post it? Do you guys remember all that when it was going down?
There's been a lot of memes in the world, man.
Because I remember, so it was Stafford and his wife, and there were 2 other people, and there was beer chugging. But I want to say I thought his wife chugged a beer, too, which I thought was really kick-ass.
Oh, he chugged it after Aaron Rodgers couldn't chug it.
Right.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to 49ers at Bucks. Jimmy Garoppolo in 8 starts with the Niners. He's averaged 283 passing yards with a 93 quarterback rating. He's a beast.
That's the other, like, big, you know, I was talking about the way I feel about the Panthers and just not knowing. I put the Niners in that category. I don't know what this team is, and I think it's really hard to know because of the Garoppolo injuries.
Sound the alarm for the KT Fun Tweets Fun Game of the Week. It is Bucks and 49ers.
Is that right?
It's going to be high scoring. It's going to be messy. You don't know what's going to happen. Both quarterbacks are going to throw it to the other team twice, but also throw it to their own team for 4 or 5 touchdowns. We're looking at a very fun game of 2 teams who are probably not going to be very good.
Well, and I guess there's no one. I don't even know who the backup is in Tampa now that Fitzmagic's gone. So Jameis going to – because, I mean, that's pretty weird for your franchise quarterback to not get the ball certain games because the journeyman got hot. So This is Jameis' time to really show if he is indeed a franchise. He's in a similar boat to the guy who went right after him, Mariota, that we were talking about earlier.
Mike Evans, one of only 3 players in league history with 1,000 receiving yards in each of his first 5 seasons in the league.
Okay, watch out for Godwin this year.
Yeah.
Godwin going to be good.
Yeah, he's going to be in the slot. All right, let's go Steelers at Patriots, and this is going to be Pittsburgh.
Fun.
Sans Antonio Brown.
Fun, man.
Yeah.
That's a great way to start the season. That's our Sunday night game, isn't it?
Sunday night.
Yeah, that's a blast. I'm looking forward to that. It's so funny, too, because these are franchises where, you know, as long as you have your quarterback there, it's like the song remains the same. a lot of guys keep getting turned out and different, you know, go to different places, bring in new guys, but they always sort of maintain that pitch. And I wouldn't write off Pittsburgh until they finally just fade off into the sunset.
Juju is going to be a lot of fun to watch. And then who steps up as that wide receiver, too, the role he was playing? James Washington, who went to Stanford High School out in West Texas near Albany, actually.
All right.
For Oklahoma State guy, or is it Dante Moncrief? So they've got guys who are decent players that they can kind of spread the ball around to. And you know what? They still have – it's weird. They still have Ryan Switzer.
I know.
They still run him out there. Isn't that strange?
Really. By the way, this is part of the reason I would want Antonio Brown. Juju Smith-Schuster ran 62% of his routes from the slot last year, okay?
Oh, wow.
Without Antonio Brown this season, he's only run 15% of his routes from the slot. So the point is that when he's outside, he's going to be facing, you know, the best corner on each team mm-hmm. in those situations, which is going to make his life a little bit more difficult. So having Antonio Brown helps everybody out on the offense if you can just tolerate his shenanigans. And then finally, we're up against it, but we can at least look at the Monday night game, Texans at Saints.
It's the first one on Monday night, Texans-Saints.
Oh, yeah, there's two of them, yeah.
You know what? Let's do those games on Monday.
Yeah, we'll do them
all the time on Monday.
Two games. We'll get into those on Monday. Coming up next, Brian Broaddus joins us. We'll get you ready for the Cowboys-Giants on a Football Friday with the best in the business. Brian Broaddus next as we broadcast live from Eagles Nest, 8455 Boat Club Road in Fort Worth.